tonight as we near the cross. We find Jesus at his second trial with Pilate. We'll be looking tonight in Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 19 tonight. And I want you to know that as we look at Pilate and his choices that he has to make, it is the classic struggle of the gospel that we are going to see in the life of Pilate tonight, whether or not Jesus is who he says he is, whether or not Jesus is worthy of death. Have you ever made a decision that you regretted, even though you had all of the information and all of the details handed to you? You tried to make the best judgment that you could. No matter how well intended you and I are, sometimes we really absolutely do blow our decisions. We really can make a really big mess of our problems. We can certainly blow them up much larger. And then on top of that, when you look at what's going on in the world today, all of the trouble that we hear about every time you turn on the television, you hear about more and more, and imagine that much, because I don't need to hear about any more trouble. This world is broken, and the sad reality is that 2,000 years ago, the solution came. And that's, for me, where hope lies. It isn't in who's in office or what's going on in Washington. Oh, that does make it easier to live here. What does settle our hope is that Jesus Christ is alive. Let's look tonight at Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 19. Luke writes, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of a necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, it has been a difficult day, and you certainly know that. So many problems and struggles that take place in the course of a day that tie up our minds and tie up our energies and tie up our attention. And Lord, tonight, I just pray that in these next few moments that we would be able to cast aside those weights and those burdens, and that we would be able to examine the evidence before us tonight, but that we would not come away as Pilate, but yet that our hearts would be tuned even tighter to worship thee in these next few moments. Lord, we thank you so much that you came, that you gave your life, for there is no hope in this life apart from you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on my behalf. And I ask these things in your name. Amen. So tonight, as we are back in the name study, it is the name of Jesus that occurs here. Actually, it's interesting how the word Jesus plays in to tonight's story. As the gospel is unfolding here, the name Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. It was quite a common name. And according to some church fathers, there's a character that's going to come up a little bit later in the passage that it's understood that his first name is most likely Jesus in our text. But it is interesting that the name Jesus, though it is remarkable in that its message, Jehovah is salvation, is a name that is uncommon. Even though we may hear of many people who bear this name today, there is one Jesus that is worthy to save, that has the power to save. So we find back in the passage that Jesus has been returned to Pilate. Do you recall last week we were looking at the two examples of Pilate and Herod? How that Pilate had examined Jesus, but when he hears that there is an opportunity to send him over to Herod for a review. Jesus goes to Herod, and Herod wants to be entertained. Herod is frustrated because Jesus won't talk to him, and so he orders him mocked and sends him back to Pilate. It is with this that we meet tonight for the final time, Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate's not really a major player in the Gospels, other than he is the man who tries and judges Jesus and makes the pronouncement that the chief priests, the scribes, and the crowds call for. He was appointed the governor of Judea from the years 26 AD to the year 36 AD. He was appointed by the emperor Tiberius, but at the end of Tiberius's reign, when the emperor Caligula comes into the scene, Pontius Pilate is called back to Rome. So we don't know really a whole lot about this man who served as the prefect or the governor of the region. All we know is that this man judged Jesus in our gospel accounts. And this would be his final trial, for it would be this few moments with Pilate that the course of human history would be forever altered and changed by a trajectory that would be marked by a cross. It was the finding of Pilate, it was the finding of Herod, that there was no evidence that Jesus himself was innocent of the charges that the chief priests and the scribes had brought against him. Do you remember when they first approached Pilate? They wanted Jesus murdered because they said he was seditious against Rome. He sought to bring rebellion, that he sought to, and that he thought himself to be the king of the Jews. It was this charge and this charge alone that Pilate questions Jesus. And we find a remarkable interchange between Jesus and Pilate concerning who Jesus is. The evidence was weighed, and Jesus was clearly found innocent. Herod found that there was no offense worthy of death, the scriptures tell us. And so Pilate decides to offer a compromise judgment. This is his solution: flog Jesus and let him go. Because after all, it is a very special time of year. It's the time of the Passover. And was the practice, Pilate was going to allow one of the prisoners released unto the people in keeping with just an act of generosity, an act of governing grace for the people of Israel. He decides that he's going to give them the choice of releasing one prisoner at the feast. It's Mark's gospel that we find in Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 7. Now, at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Now, when you consider who we're talking about here, this man Barabbas, whose name literally means just son of the father, he is known as a murderer, and he's known as a violent rebel. This would be akin to taking someone like Charles Manson and offering an innocent person versus Charles Manson and releasing, making the choice. Which one would you think would be easier to choose between? A very ugly choice and a very easy choice. One man who is absolutely violent, vile, wicked, and guilty, and worthy of the death of the cross. Because this man places no value on life. You say, well, he was a rebel. He was trying to fight to break Rome's bondage. That's what makes the choice so much more distinct, that Pilate would be willing to risk this man Barabbas. Almost, I wonder, if he's thinking, I'm going to take away the choice and make it obvious. I'm going to try to influence the crowd here, and I'm going to put up this really mean fella versus this Jesus. The choice should have been easy, and it should have been safe to make. But Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 23, shed some insight into the passage. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? Here he's making the presentation to him. Jesus Christ or Jesus Barabbas, if you're following along what the early church fathers assumed his name was. But we find that the chief priests and the scribes had come, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him, Jesus. He knew that he would be needling these men. He knew that he would be setting in front of them a choice that would be rather obvious and rather easy to influence. But he knew they felt strongly about Jesus, which causes us to pause here and ask this question. Who indeed is worthy to die? Who deserves to die between these two men? Barabbas or Jesus? Which one deserves to be set free? Barabbas or Jesus? Remember, we're talking about the gospel here. And when we look at the gospel is not just a historical story, but rather it is a very personal story that describes the struggles that you and I face before our faith in Jesus. Did he deserve to die for you? Did I really deserve to be set free? A very familiar passage to us, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is not one that understandeth, there is not one that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The choice between you and me and Jesus. Who should live? Who should die? The choice should be rather obvious. The choice should be rather easy, and it should be a safe assumption. Jesus is innocent. We are guilty. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The gospel, we find the hope in Jesus. The one who did not deserve to die, the one who did not deserve the cross, went to the cross, and you and I make free like bandits, like Barabbas. But consider Pilate and the word of warning from his wife, Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, as Pilate, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Here we have Pilate's wife advising him to let Jesus go. The trouble that was building and brewing. You have this man, this traitor, this man named Barabbas, who it should be obvious that he's not going to be released. But this man has been causing trouble for Pilate. This man, Jesus, has been teaching and healing and performing miracles, preaching the message of the kingdom. But Pilate's wife is so vexed that she warns him not to have anything to do with Jesus, but the chief priests and the crowds. They pressed Pilate to a decision. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now this is not a surprise gospel story tonight that you're hearing it for the first time. But let's unpack Pilate's struggle, Pilate's dilemma. Here he has examined Jesus and found no guilt in Jesus. And he's tried to present a better option to the people, Jesus or Barabbas. And he's received a warning from his wife. And if you were to make the call, if you were to go back in history and it was you on the judgment seat in Pilate's seat, how would you handle this moment? An innocent man whom the people clearly are upset about. A guilty man who the people are obviously fired up about. And a wife who's very much concerned. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let..." Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. This is the great dilemma of the gospel. "What shall I do then with this Jesus, which is called Christ?" And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Tonight in our passage, we come to the gospel question. What shall I do with Jesus? When you consider the gospel and the way we present it, when you consider the message of the gospel, today people have a very difficult time coming to terms with the fact that they're a sinner. Because our culture tells us there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with someone who tells you there's something wrong with you. As though the skeptics and as though the authorities have the authority over the one who has told us that there is not one who is righteous. It's not our message that something we've concocted and created. This is the message from the Lord. But if you could overcome the sin aspect, because I see and hear so many people say, "You know what? Let's just forget about that. Let's just don't make that an issue." One of the best known TV preachers, I recently saw watching a reel of videos being interviewed on a cable news channel. This fella who has the largest church in Texas, who has an incredibly large and incredibly lucrative TV ministry, was asked, "How do you feel about sin?" And he just looked at the newscaster and said, "It's not my place to talk about that. People just need to hear something uplifting. And so I'm not going to talk about that. There are probably more people better qualified." But the man has a membership of some 25, 35,000 people at his church. Who would be better qualified to stand before those people and preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ than this man? But the problem today seems to be, if we can just do away with sin, maybe we can move on to the other aspects of it. Which is what Pilate asks Jesus initially. Is Jesus really the Son of God? And if Jesus really is the Son of God, then it means it takes us back to that square one problem. Am I really a guilty sinner? Am I really someone who deserves judgment for my actions that I have done in this life? Am I really the way the Bible describes me? And to this issue, Paul, continuing on, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:24, "but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Is Jesus who he says he is? Am I really a guilty sinner? Because if you cannot answer those questions biblically, the way Scripture frames the question and the argument and presents the evidence, you'll never get to me. Because I am good enough, or I really don't have a problem that's worthy or deserving of death. And for Pilate to have weighed all the evidence and to look at this man and see him as innocent and to understand that this man has done nothing wrong and that this man is clearly not on the same par as this man Barabbas. And the warning from his wife. But yet the crowd cries out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Did Jesus have to die for me? That's the question that Pilate asks. What am I to do with this man, Jesus? It's the moment of crisis where the one who hears the gospel message has to come to terms with this truth. He is who he says he is, and I am who he says I am. And that there is no hope for me. I deserve judgment. And he, did he have to die for me? Absolutely, yes. Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. It's a very quick study tonight, but I hope that you were able to see the gospel in his name in these few verses here. The struggle, the hope. It's found only in Jesus.